Welcome to season 3 of the Faithful Entrepreneur podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Again, we're going to ask that you continue to share and download these episodes with your faith-filled entrepreneur friends, because we know that we need faith-leading businesses more than ever right now. And we are upping our game this coming year to support you in this. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company Pressing Onward and creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Community, and your host as we journey through this business building life together. And I am so excited to introduce our guest today, Mr. Bill Woolsey. He is the president and founder of 5-2 Network, a network that equips Christian entrepreneurs to launch a variety of sustainable startups that reach people for Jesus. After starting his undergraduate work at Texas A&M, Bill transferred to a pre-seminary route and then received his Master's of Divinity from Concordia Seminary, serving congregations in a variety of roles for the next decade. And in 1997, Bill and his family planted Cross Point Community Church, a multi-site congregation outside of Houston that led his denomination in growth for most of the 2000s. And they were able to scale this from 7 to 1,600 families. That's so awesome. Bill began leading 5-2 Network full-time in 2015 when the network launched Start New. Its Mother Teresa meets a friendly Mark Cuban training process that helps entrepreneurial leaders to grow their God-given dreams into ministries, nonprofits, and faith-based businesses that make an eternal difference in financially sustainable ways. Over the past decade, Bill and his team have been able to help produce new and renewed churches, homeless shelters, mobile medical clinics, mobile food ministries to underserved communities, sports ministries, preschools, single mothers groups, recovery ministries, and coffee shops, all of them loving their communities in incredible ways. So as you all can see, we are so blessed and so thankful and so excited to have this conversation with Bill. Bill, thank you so much for being here with us.
Jen, thank you so much for having me. It's a pretty audacious introduction, but thank you. So I'm excited to be here.
You have a long list of really incredible things, and so I'm excited to dive in.
You know, I think one of the things, and for your listening audience, some of those things all the things you mentioned, and then just a whole bunch more that we've seen come out, especially here in this last year, as people try to move back out of COVID, is those all float from the passion within the heart of the leader. And that's what, for me as a pastor, when I watch that, you know, that's just what excites us. We don't start it. We help you live out your calling and be successful in that calling. So anyway, it's great to be here and great to talk with you and the people you serve.
Well, I'm excited to really dive into that, actually, because most of the people who do listen, they do have a passion. But as you know, and as I'm sure you have talked many people through, having a passion for what you do and actually creating a sustainable business, there can be a gap there. You know, and so I think that what you're doing is really a need.
There definitely can be a gap. You know, oftentimes the reason we grab that little name of a description, Mother Teresa meets a friendly Mark Cuban, in our process that we take faith leaders through who want to use entrepreneurship, but they're uncertain how to do that. Oftentimes as Christians or other faith individuals, they fail to let the business side of things move into their faith, and they fail to let their faith influence the business side. Mm. And so whatever it is they're starting, they tend to silo those. And when you live that kind of a life in general, all the joy that you get out of faith doesn't get to impact the rest of the day. And at the same time, you're just trying to because we work with a lot of people that are like, oh, I got this great idea. And, you know, it's going to be incredible and bless people. And we're like, now there's also the business side. How do you use that knowledge and that wisdom well to influence your faith? So it's really important that people, you know, have a foot in both worlds there.
Oh, absolutely. So I know that I explained a little bit about your journey and about the 5-2 Network, but is there anything that you want to add about your journey to getting where you are now, and even anything you want to add about the 5-2 Network?
So my journey as a pastor, it was always in churches, charge of the growth part of the church, evangelism, and then discipleship, and then became executive pastor in the Midwest of a large church that God allowed us to be a part of the growing of it. And then when we took this call to West Houston and started Crosspoint, it was a phenomenal ride, very hard to replicate at times because just God brought lots of things together. Really saw and learned after 9 years of leading growing churches how to take all of that and put all that together, and stumbled into a lot of the things that we now teach people. In 2009, when we started 5-2, it was principally to support church planters because it was a very hard job. It's hard to start a church. Oftentimes, you don't get a lot of support even from the very people who want you to start it, because the more creative you are, the more engaging the culture you are, you come across as being, you know, not part of the old tribe. So you sometimes find yourself out there all by yourself going for a walk. We said, let's come around and help those individuals. Realized pretty quickly around 2012, though, that that's a pretty small number of the church at large. And if we could mobilize instead just entrepreneurial Christians or people who like to start stuff, oftentimes they don't want to be labeled as an entrepreneur because that could have certain stigmas, but they love to start things. And if we could mobilize those people and pour into those people, we could make a bigger impact for the kingdom. So that's when we transitioned and started moving that direction. And I think the reason we named the network 5-2 is from the feeding of the 5,000, five loaves and two fish, and the incredible miracle that Jesus did in that feeding, where the food, the resources that he used to feed the crowd came from the crowd. It didn't come from the church, the disciples. They said, we don't have anything. And that's the big aha that we help leaders and Christians understand, is that God's already doing something in your community. He wants you to be a part of it. And he's going to provide the resources as you're faithful and as you're, you know, there saying, okay, here's what I've got, God. And as you're looking around, in that miracle, he commands the disciples twice. First time is you give them something to eat, so he holds them accountable. And secondly, he commands them to go and see what's there. I could probably say we very few of the times that we've helped people start things has it been an idea I've never heard of before. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, everybody's had the idea, or many people have had the idea. What's been missing is a true community loving missionary based mindset that is going to lead the charge and persevere and be flexible. So it's the leadership that's missing. And if we can help encourage you and equip you for that, that's where it's a win for us. So I've always been a pastor that loves to watch people use their gifts and loves to watch them succeed. And so that's what we do in our network, come under you and behind you and really just help you get out there and do what God's calling you to do.
That just gave me goosebumps. I was taking notes fast and furiously there. I was wondering what the 5-2 Network, where that name came from, and what a beautiful representation of that name for that miracle. And you mentioned something else that I wrote down. There was a small number of naysayers. And I think that that's something that we all have to always get over, you know, and sometimes the small group of those who are resistant often yell the loudest and can make it very difficult to push forward on that. But I think when we have that mindset of what you just said, that God is already doing something and that he's already got the resources where he wants them, and they may be sitting on your lap and you just don't know how to use them, that can be a really powerful thing. So I would imagine that that's going to kind of move us into our next question. What is the biggest mistake that you have seen that Christian entrepreneurs make, and how can they avoid these kinds of downfalls?
You know, I think on that question, Jen, it's probably has to do with the order of things, the progress of things, I guess you'd say. So virtually everybody that we've worked with, I probably can't think of one who doesn't fit this bill. They all have an idea. They come to us with a particular idea that they believe is the thing. And what we encourage everybody to do is to hold your idea loosely. And most of them at the same time, so while they say, I've got this idea, most of them have a very hard time articulating who the idea is for. and who is the product or the service or the mission or whatever it is you feel compelled to start, they have a hard time articulating that. The other thing that we see, it has to do with this order thing as well, is that on the fear side, they all come worrying, where's the money going to come from? Where are the people going to come from? So on one hand, they come in like, I'm excited about this idea. On the other hand, I'm afraid that where's people going to come from? Where's money going to come from? So what we're saying is, okay, you're excited about the idea. Let's hold it loosely. Let's set it to the side. I mean, you have to really be willing to set it to the side. And then secondly, on the fear thing, again, take you back to the feeding the 5,000. If it's of God, the resources, that's all going to come. But let's get the rest of this figured out first. So don't freak out about the money yet. Don't freak out about the people yet. Yeah, we got to pay attention to the money. We certainly will. But let's get down very tightly what we would say, first of all, your calling. So let's start there. What is it that God's put on your heart? Not idea-wise, but what's this passion and who is this passion for? So we want to clarify your calling very clearly to where you're like, this is who I am. Because we see a lot of times, especially in the for-profit space, the mom and pops individuals will start something. And yes, they're trying to figure out their financial well-being for their family's sake or whatever it may be. That's definitely a reason they're doing this. But when it just becomes about that and not tied into your calling, there's a lack of fulfillment. There's this nagging, something's still missing. Whereas if we can make sure this is tied into your calling and then help you figure out how to monetize that in a godly way, now you're working in your sweet spot. You know, now you wake up and you're like, I just talked to a guy yesterday, Kingdom Entrepreneur, very successful guy, started it from scratch. It's a local kind of thing, but growing big. He told me, I'm depressed every morning when I wake up. I'm not looking forward to going to work. Now, some of that's due to some issues he's realizing as he scales. Okay. And I know you and I talked earlier about your listeners and, you know, what's the challenge. And so they're looking at the scaling thing. So I would just say the big issue, the mistakes we see, they get the cart before the horse. They're not focusing on who their calling is for. And then coming out of that calling is the who. So it's a disconnect from their calling, and then it's a disconnect from their customer. And that right there, usually when nonprofits come to us, especially now in this post-COVID season, because the world changed literally for 18 months, people changed. They started doing different things. Their values changed. And you've got to figure out, how did they change and how am I going to change to re-engage with them and serve them? That's what all the nonprofits, frankly, all the for-profits, they're all trying to wrestle with. Churches are wrestling with.
Yeah.
So they have lost this connection with their customer. Either they didn't have it in the beginning, or now they're trying to re-engage it. And that's where we really help you drill deep on that individual, what they're struggling with, how we can help them, and how that intersects with the calling that we have. So I would say those are the two big mistakes, because those are like out of the gate mistakes. Now, sometimes you'll be successful and you'll get some traction, but if you didn't have that clear in the beginning, then you hit what we would call founder's trap, you know, and you're not able to pop through and scale more. So just that time of clarifying is very, very powerful. And then we can start giving you some tools on how to move that forward.
I think for a lot of us, when we started our business, we started it out of a personal place. And so when you start it out of a personal place, and I've noticed as I've really talked to the people in our community, that it seems to either be a personal weakness that they had that the Lord helped them with, they were able to overcome, and now they want to build a business around that.
Right.
Or the opposite, it's something that they're really good at, that they realize that it's a gift that they have and they want to share that with people. But it oftentimes starts from a place of a personal need or a personal
experience almost, right?
Yes, experience. And so I think that that's really good, the way that you stated that, that we can't just stay in that place, that we have to really know who the customers are to be able to talk to them.
And I would say, you know, our brokenness always focuses on us, on ourselves. I mean, we're constantly looking in the mirror. We're constantly coming back instead of looking out. And some of the things that we've helped start that have been incredible in their impact have flowed out of the starter we would call you a sacred starter. Out of the sacred starter, having lived in that world, either through serving those people or literally having lived in that world for a significant amount of time where they really know the person, they get it. Okay. Think of Deb, who launched a phenomenal sex trafficking ministry in Detroit. She was a former police officer. She worked in the sex crimes division and she just got burned out and said, I'd rather do something proactive. And a great example, I think of Lori McClellan down in Mesa, Arizona, a incredible homeless ministry. I think of Andy out of Orlando, phenomenal mobile food ministry to an underserved community. He had the idea, rallied the leaders in that community to own this thing as he said, let's do this thing, and got incredible funding and all sorts of stuff. So I think what's important there is, yes, God has taken you through experiences. He's given you that for a reason, but let's now make sure the fit is great and it's really bringing the value that person is seeking. And then how do we introduce Jesus? We say, what's the platter you're going to serve Jesus on? In our world today, in our culture today, it's not a Jesus platter, all right? It's something else. But you as a leader have to be wise then in how we're going to integrate faith and how we're going to share that in a way that works for the people we're serving. So
I love it. Okay, I wanted to circle back to one other thing before we start to close up this conversation, even though I have so many more things I want to talk to you about. So I have a lot of people, and I think it's partly due to COVID, but I also think that it's part of the process of starting and growing a business, especially when it is a passion-based business. But they feel like they're stalling out, like they're kind of on a hamster wheel, and they are pouring their heart and their soul into their business, but they're not seeing the growth that they were hoping for. They're feeling discouraged, you know, or they're starting to feel like they're not good enough or like they're not the right person for the job kind of thing. Do you work with entrepreneurs who kind of get on that plateau or even in that slump? And how would you have any advice to kind of get over that place?
Yes. So to answer your question, do we work with people who fit that bill? Yes. And we started seeing just a lot of people come out starting around June of 2021, where all of a sudden, I think people were finally like, okay, I got to get out. I got to get this thing going again. That right there describes a lot of them. I'd ask you a couple questions. So first of all, why is it you're trying to scale? So there are two situations that we see routinely. One is financially, if we don't scale, we're going to crash and burn. So in other words, there's a financial need. Maybe I put a lot into capital or something and I've got to recoup it, or I've got a big loan and, you know, feed my family. I've got to have X number of dollars. And so I've got to do that. So that's one reason. And then I think that takes you to some different answers. Okay. So like, is it an operations issue? Do you have somebody that understands operations? Founders usually think they understand operations. They don't. So is that the issue, or is it a sales issue? Is it a disconnect with your customer issue? Did your customer change and therefore they don't see the value? I mean, there are lots of things that could be explored there, but I would just say, first of all, if that's what the answer to the question is one thing. There's another answer, though, that we see a lot. And what I love about what we do is that we'll work with mom and pops, and we encounter a lot of them that don't want to scale. In other words, they don't want to grow the thing big because they understand, now I hit different problems. I'm always going to have problems. Now I've got to manage employees. And in today's post-COVID, if I'm in service industry, gosh, to find those people is hard. And now I've got that headache every morning. My friend I was telling you about earlier, he just is struggling with having to manage all of the people. Yeah. And he'd love a life that he didn't have to do that. So now that's a different issue. So why is it you're scaling? Because a lot of times I think we say, well, to be successful, I have to grow this thing and it has to keep growing. I would push on you there and say, perhaps your successful definition needs to be evaluated. You know, have you ever thought about how much money does your family really need? And how much time do you really want to spend? And really have some good heart to heart. It kind of goes back to that calling thing, goes back to your personal vision, where you want to see this thing go. So I would say that right there, you know, which question is it? the scaling, and then we can do some diagnosis from there and help you determine what issue it is that you're really facing and struggling with.
What great questions. Why are you trying to scale? And then what does success actually look like to you? I think those are fantastic questions. Okay, so Bill, if our listeners want to reach out to you or would like to work with the 5-2 Network, how can they do that?
Easiest way for them to do that, Jen, is to simply go to our site, 52.com, F-I-V-E-T-W-O.com. And you're going to see there an opportunity for a free strategy session. It's 20 minutes. We'll get on a Zoom with you, give you some thoughts on if I were in your shoes and trying to do that, here's what I'd do. That's probably the best way for them. And that would kind of, you know, get us talking and see what they're thinking. We do occasionally, we'll encounter some individuals who are like self-paced. And you can also check out our startnewtraining.com site. So that's all one word, startnewtraining.com. Works for startups, you know, if you're trying to scale, there's a whole learning platform there and materials, soup to nuts, from calling all the way to build, fund, and launch what you're trying to do. So two options there. The most personal and the most individualized would be just go to 52.com, click on that free strat session, fill out the form, and be in touch and schedule something with you.
This is incredible. And y'all, I'm going to really encourage you to take advantage of that free strategy session. We have been talking a lot in our community about how we need to surround ourselves with people who are speaking into us and who are speaking into us in faith and in accountability, and that there are so many opportunities for that, but we have to put ourselves out there sometimes in order to make those connections. And the fact that you guys are offering this free strategy session is awesome. It's awesome. And so I really encourage everybody to take advantage of that. The website will have those links on the show notes, and we will also have them on our social media posts. And so you can always check it out there. Bill, I just want to thank you again for this conversation and for what your 5-2 Network is doing, for pouring into small business owners like myself and like our listeners, and just really building the capacity for Christian entrepreneurs to make such a bigger impact across the world. So thank you for your time and for hanging out with us today.
You're very welcome, Jen. Thank you. And thanks for reaching out to us. You know, may God bless you and your work, and then all your listeners as well. You know, my mom is a small business owner, started it, so I've always been around it. It's a hard life. There's always challenges. There are always these what ifs that we start to worry about, and we're constantly praying for God's favor and wisdom in what we're doing. So I know your shoes, worn them. I still wear them, and really want to lift you up in prayer and all your people as well. So God be with you.
Thank you. And I want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, to get business strategies, verses for guidance and encouragement, just to have a community that celebrates each other and networks with each other and prays for each other. You can follow us on Instagram at Jen_Kleiber. And as I said, our website is up and running now at jenkleiber.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and download and share. And we will be back with another episode of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast next week.